This guy had more than one. This guy had more than one hit. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin, picking Michael Martin Murphy in Wildfire. Now, I know that song, but I would be very surprised to learn that Michael Martin Murphy, Mr. Alliteration, had more than one hit. Well, that's what we prove here on the show every Tuesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We've got Skip Skipley's on the way. There's already a bunch of cats outside Esmeralda gathering. And they have parachutes this week. I think they
don't float anymore.
I think they're actually going to go up to the top of the building and then float down when you sing.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. So you see a bunch of cats with parachutes floating down here when we look out the windows a little bit later on when we play For the Record, the 80s/90s music trivia game. So the most popular songs I have right here, each from each year between 1940 to 2005. So we'll find out here what the most popular song is of the year of our birth here at the program. And if you want to jump in at 312-981-7200. Now, I have not looked at the lists for the years that we were born. But I would like to try. Maybe we can take a crack at guessing what they were. I don't know. I'm not going to be able. I swear to you, I won't be able to guess. Maybe it's a Beatles song, the year I was born. Perhaps. Now, what year was is Vic? Vic, can you hear me? What year were you born, Vic?
He stepped out for the moment.
Oh, he stepped out. All right. Well, we'll find out a little bit later what year Vic was born, because we want to get everybody's year in here. So, I was born in 1965. So, my guess, do you think Dan Beatles, you saw this list already, though. That's the
I did, yeah.
But a Beatles would be a pretty good guess, right? I mean,
they have two songs in the 60s. I know that for sure.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think, because Meet the Beatles came out in 64. So, maybe I Want to Hold Your Hand?
That it was for 1964.
That was 64. Oh, so that was 64. Oh, you know what? I should have known that because I just saw the damn movie and it took place in February 8th, 1964. That's early in the year. I should have known that. All right. Well, I don't know. So I'm going to look. 1965. Woof. Dan, you know this one already, right?
I do.
Esmeralda, you know what the biggest song the year I was born is?
What's that?
Woolly Bully. Said to be about Sam the Sham's cat, the song became the band's biggest hit, pushing through the British invasion that had dominated the charts since the Beatles broke through. Although the song never reached number one on the Hot Billboard 100, it was so popular that it's still recognized as the top song of the year, making it the first non-number one song to earn the title. So Woolly Bully was the most popular song of the year I was born. All right. Dan, you were born in 81?
Correct.
81.
And it was funny. I got it wrong because I too guessed. And my actually turned out to be the biggest hit of 1982. And the reason I remembered it was because in 82, this song was actually number one. You know, the song from 1982 was actually the number one song on my birthday, November 21st, 1981. So kind of similar to what you described, because I was born so late in the year.
I see.
It had just kind of come out and started to reach fame.
But it really rolled and got popular in early 82.
Correct. So what? I was surprised by 81. 82, I was not.
All right. 81, and it was big at the end of 81, and it rolled on to popularity in 82.
Correct.
God, what was big then? Because that's pre-Thriller.
Correct.
And that's like right around New Wave-ish time, and One Hit Wonder New Wave-ish time. It's 1 into 82. Geez, I don't know. And was this a group or a person, single artist?
For 80, both are single artists. Both are female single artists as well.
Oh, female single artists.
Right.
Stevie Nicks, maybe? I'm trying to think of, like, what was Bonnie Tyler? Total Eclipse of the Heart, maybe?
Nope. In that vein, though.
Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. Now, that was 83. That was 83. Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, was big then, and it was a female artist. Oh, what's her face? Betty Davis. Betty Davis Eyes.
1981.
That song was massive.
Mm-hmm.
That song, that was 81. That was the year you were born. But 82 is the one that you guessed at?
Right, because it was the number one song on my birthday.
Oh, I see. And that was Physical.
Right.
Olivia Newton-John. Okay, I looked at that one. Betty Davis Eyes is soft rock. Became a trend in 1981. Kim Carnes' cover of the Donna Weiss, Jackie DeShannon original Betty Davis Eyes rose on the charts. The melody and beat paired with Kim's classic scratchy tenor remained number one on the Billboard charts for 9 weeks and went on to win Grammy Award for Song of the Year in 82. And then Physical, which was your guess for when you were born?
Right.
Although songwriters Steve Kippner and Terry Shattuck originally wanted Rod Stewart to sing Physical, Olivia Newton-John ended up putting it on her 12th studio album of the same name. It was a good call because the song was an enormous hit. It reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and it stayed there for 10 weeks, becoming Olivia's biggest commercial musical success. Now, I'm looking at the list at number for 1983, and I would have absolutely guessed Michael Jackson. Anything, I would have absolutely... Esmeralda, wouldn't you have guessed 83 was the year you were born?
Yes.
I would have guessed anything off a Thriller. I would have thought Beat It or... what the baby's not mine. What's it, Billie Jean? But it's not. It's not a Michael Jackson song, Esmeralda. Which I find surprising. Although, but then when I look at this song, I mean, it did dominate. Do you know what it is?
I don't.
It's by a group, not a single. I'll give you a massive hint. My favorite group when I was in high school. Like, by far my favorite, because I've said it 9,000 times, but I guess you don't listen when I talk.
Nope, I just hear wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's The Police. It's Every Breath You Take.
Ah.
Biggest hit. That song was on the radio every 14 seconds. And then it says, well, some say Every Breath You Take by The Police is one of the most romantic songs of 1983. Sting claimed that the song was much more sinister and had to do with being spied on. Of course it is. You gotta love that people would play that at their weddings. People would play that song at their weddings. To be like, here's our first dance, is Every Breath You Take. Hey, you guys know that that's about a stalker? That song's actually about a stalker? And it was inspired by Sting's divorce from his first wife, and it became The Police's only single to reach number one on the Hot Billboard 100. Really? That's the only one? That's the only Police song that ever went to number one? Wow. That's kind of surprising. But yeah, in 1983, especially the summer of 1983, it was the year I graduated high school. You couldn't get away from Every Breath You Take. You can get away. I mean, Synchronicity, that entire album was insane. So far, Esmeralda has the best song of the three of our three years of birthdays, because Wooly Bully is ridiculous. I like Betty Davis Eyes. That's fine. But Every Breath You Take is a legitimately great song. All right. Let's go. We got people on the line here who are wondering what their song was. And here is Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Yeah, I was born in 55, so it's probably really bad.
1955, the big song the year you were born was Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White.
I knew it.
Yep. It's a popular mambo. The Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White was the first performed by Cuban band leader Perez Prado for the film Underwater. And there is an explanation point at the end of that. They've actually the title of the movie is Underwater.
Oh boy.
And it later became a hit song on its own, purely instrumental. The track, which features a sliding trumpet sound from Billy Regis, spent 10 weeks at number one on the Billboard chart. The same year, another musician, Alan Dale, released a cover of the song with lyrics, but it didn't match the popularity of Perez's version. Dan, can you grab that one? The instrumental, I guess, the one that was the biggest one. So, all right. Well, there you go, Tom.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. A jam. That song is a jam.
Very Mambo King-esque.
Yeah, of course. That's why I like it. That was 10 weeks at number one on the bill. That song, what we just heard, spent 10 weeks at the number one slot on the Billboard charts. Could you imagine that song being released now? And like, you know, and it's number one on whatever charts are out there now? Downloads. Hey, man, did you hear that Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White? That song's a jam. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Is Vic back, Esmeralda?
Yeah, he'll be right over.
Okay. Just want to know what year he was born, and then we can find out.
1971.
1971. Okay, 1971. I'm not going to look yet. 1971, I'm guessing something like Three Dog Night.
I'll take it.
Three Dog Night would be my guess from 1971. Oh, you're laughing. Dan's laughing.
Your bandmates would have been very proud
of you. Wow, man, I'm right. Joy to the World by Three Dog Night was number one song that year. The popular lyric began Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, and from there, Three Dog Night hit the music jackpot for their hit song Joy to the World in 1971. Not even 2 months after its release, the song reached number one on the Hot Billboard 100, sold more than 100 million units, and it was certified gold. That's if you had to be around at that time to realize how big Three Dog Night was. By the way, we didn't play that song when they came to Ginger's. Like, no, that's too much like work. Let's play The Twist. Oh, all right, great. I remember how Three Dog Night had such a massive hit with The Twist. So, all right. Well, we have to take a break here on WGN, and when we come back, we'll find out what the other biggest songs of each year were. And some of them are a lot of goofy to talk about, but if you want to jump in with maybe what your year you were born, you'd like to know what the biggest song was that year. 312-981-7200. I was right. He had one hit. It's Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. And that's David Monroe's request was for Michael Martin Murphy and What's Forever For. No memory of that at all, Dan.
I had never heard of him before today.
Wildfire, I remember. I remember Wildfire big time. That was a pretty big hit. But this one, I have no idea what that is. So, I don't think we're going to find Michael Martin Murphy anywhere on this list of biggest songs of each year. I don't think that's going to happen. So, all right, 312-981-7200. And, you know, some of these are just, you know, I'm looking at some of these, some of these on the list. Like 1968 was Hey Jude. It's another one of those songs that was everywhere. Written by Paul McCartney to help John Lennon's son Julian with his parents' divorce, Hey Jude, at 7 minutes in length, became one of the longest songs to ever top the charts. The Beatles had once again struck gold as their single drop, staying at number one on the Billboard charts for 9 weeks in 1968, longer than any of their other previous songs had lasted. Wow. I don't know why that surprises me. It's not that I don't like Hey Jude, because it's a great song, but that song was the one that was on the charts for the longest. I don't know why does that seem weird to you, though, Dan?
I mean, compared to their poppier, happier stuff,
yeah,
it is a bit strange.
And, like, Esmeralda, does that seem a little strange? Because it's like, I don't know. I don't know why I would think that some of their other songs would have been on the charts longer.
Oh, it's a sing-along.
Yeah, for 7 minutes. The last part of the song, the refrain goes on for like 4 minutes. Na, 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 na. And it goes on for like 9 minutes. So, yeah. All right, let's just randomly look at something here from the 70s. How about this one? Anybody who was born in 1978... Andy Gibbs, Slow Dancing, or Shadow Dancing. Shadow Dancing if you were born in 1978, that was the biggest song of the year. 10 years before Andy Gibbs' untimely death, he released what would be his last number one hit in America, Shadow Dancing, which played on some of the same disco themes his brothers, the Bee Gees, were famous for. The song remained number one on the Billboard charts for 7 weeks, eventually becoming the top single of 1978. Shadow Dancing. Good old Andy Gibb. He had a bunch of hits. I mean, he had a lot of hits, Andy Gibb. Shadow Dancing. Let's see. We got a few more here. We got texts coming in. Mark the Breadman, our buddy Mark the Breadman, was born in 1974. All right, Mark, you'll be pleased to know that the biggest song the year you were born was The Way We Were. Was The Way We Were. Released in September of 73 as a single, The Way We Were, based on the movie of the same name, captivated listeners. Barbara Streisand's breathy, sensual voice sang a story of love that faded over time. It became the number one hit of 1974 and took home the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Scott says in a text, and it's 312-981-7200, if I remember correctly, the charts only go through the end of October. That way, Billboard magazine could have their top songs of the year ready to go for their issue in December. Okay. Trucker Rich. All right, Trucker Rich was born in 1956, and it was Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel. Elvis Presley wasn't unknown to the music world in 1956, but he wasn't yet the icon we know him as today. That all changed with the release of his first number one pop hit, Heartbreak Hotel. Elvis gained notoriety and near instant popularity for the way he suggestively gyrated his hips. You know who taught him to do that? Forrest Gump. I don't know if you've seen the movie. But when Forrest Gump had the leg braces on, he was dancing in the room with Elvis. That's where he learned. That's where Elvis got his moves from. That's a little history lesson for people who weren't at our screening in July. 630 area code. I was born in 1960. 1960, oh my God, a theme from A Summer Place. Chances are, even if you've never heard this classic song, you've probably listened to it a time or two at another. It's been used in numerous TV shows, film soundtracks. It was composed by Max Steiner for the film Summer Place in 1959. This theme song was covered by Percy Faith and his orchestra in 1960, and they turned it into a hit. It reached number one on the Billboard chart, staying there for an impressive 9 weeks before becoming the song of the year. Now, if I were to say this a theme from A Summer Place, would you know what it is, Dan?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay. Can you get it for the next segment? Because you'll know it immediately. Esmeralda, do you know Theme from A Summer Place?
I don't.
You trust me, you will. Like, as soon as you'll hear it, you go, oh, that, I didn't know it was called that. So, all right, hang out, everybody. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up right here. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah! Two for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. If you want to make a request, one artist, two songs, we'll play them in a little bit. 301 area code requesting a little Gary Puckett, and that's Over You. Welcome back. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich gets in at 5 with the opening bell, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 as your morning drive for this Tuesday morning. Skip Skipley's on the way in the submarine, and we will be playing a round of For the Record coming up. Yeah. And also, which Disney movie is everybody's favorite? We'll talk a little bit about that. Right now, though, we're talking about the biggest songs of each year dating back to 1940. So if you're interested in a specific year, or maybe the year you were born, or another special year, we've got the songs that were big that year and the explanation for why they were so big. Okay, so we were just talking about 1960. A listener from 630 area code was born in 1960, and the number one song for that year was the theme from A Summer Place. So did you find it, Dan? Now, so you know it, right, Dan?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Esmeralda, you know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a theme from A Summer Place. That was, by the way, played in a very, very, very funny scene in Animal House. It's played it during a very funny scene in Animal House. But that song, I mean, that, you know, if you don't, that's one of those, that is one of those songs that it's like, oh, I know that song, but you never know the name of it. Peter in Decatur was born in 1951, and the number one song was Too Young. It's easy to see why Too Young by Nat King Cole became the number one song of 1951. Nat's rich vocals, accompanied by soaring instruments, produced a song so lovely, listeners were spellbound. The hit spent 5 weeks on the Billboard charts and 29 weeks on the Billboard bestsellers charts, earning it the designation of most beloved song of the year. And then finally, one of our listeners in the 608 area code was born in 1957, and that, of course, is Elvis Presley. All shook up. After a wildly successful year on the charts, Elvis Presley came back in 1957 to score a bunch of new hits, and fans couldn't get enough. Elvis's second single that year, All Shook Up, spent 8 weeks at the top of the Billboard Hot 100, also climbed to both the country and R&B charts. Country? It surpassed his earlier hit single that year, Too Much, which peaked at number 2. All Shook Up, country? How is that how can that be designated a country song? What? Who runs Billboard? Well, it's probably not the same people who run it now, because that was in 1957. So my guess is there were different people running it. But that just seems weird to me that it topped the country charts. All right. Let's see. Here we got someone who was born. Paul was born in 1961. Well, the number one song in 1961 was Tossin' and Turnin' by Bobby Lewis. He surely had listeners doing the twist. This fun song is about a love-struck man's awful night of sleep as he thinks about the woman he loves. It reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 61. It remained there for 7 weeks. It found renewed fame in 1978 as one of the songs on the soundtrack for Animal House. There were a lot of songs that found renewed popularity because they were on the Animal House soundtrack. 630 area code was born in 1988. Faith by the man, left-handed George Michael. Faith reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100, stayed there for 4 weeks, staying put in the top 10 for 9 weeks. It also peaked at number 2 in the UK charts and became one of George Michael's biggest hits ever. 815 area code, what was the biggest song in 1950, the year they were born? Goodnight Irene, recorded as a cover of the original song by Leadbelly in 1933. Gordon Jenkins, his orchestra and vocal group, The Weavers, put a softer touch on the folk classic, Goodnight Irene, and fans loved it. The song quickly chimed to number one on the Billboard Top Song chart, stayed there for 13 weeks. Although some listeners complained that the lyrics were more watered down than the original, the song was so wildly popular that newer lyrics are now considered standard. Right. All right. I was born in 214 area code in 1973. Oh, God. God. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Oh, my God. That song. Written about a former POW returning home from war. Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree by Dawn, featuring Tony Orlando, was an instant worldwide hit. After 18 years of war in Vietnam, the song inspired nostalgia for vets returning home. Some thought it was actually about a criminal released from prison, but the songwriters L. Russell Brown and Irwin Levine refuted the idea. The track went on to reach number one in the U.S. and around the world. Oh, that song. If you were around in 1973, you know that you just wanted to smash your head against the wall repeatedly every single time that song came on the radio. And it was everywhere. It was everywhere. You could not get away from that damn song. Alan in North Carolina said that he was born in December of 56, so I'll ask for 56 and 57. Well, that's we just said that already. Heartbreak Hotel in 56, All Shook Up in 57. You can pretty much bet that late 50s are going to be dominated by the King. 301 area code says, my daughter just celebrated her 27th birthday yesterday. What was the hit song of 1991? Biggest song of 1991 was Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams from the Robin Hood soundtrack. Right, wasn't it? It was the Robin Hood soundtrack, right?
Yes, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, my God. The epic ballad Everything I Do It For You, which was co-written by Bryan Adams, appeared on his sixth solo studio album, as well as in the soundtrack for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves in 1991. The song was a clear hit, spending 9 weeks at number one on the Hot Billboard 100 and an unheard-of 16 weeks on the U.S. singles chart, which was the longest run in the chart's history up until that point. Unbelievable. And by the way, Dan, in 1991, I was 26. So people that I knew were starting to get married, a couple of years older than me, and I was dating Leslie Presley. And she had a couple of friends who got married. And every damn wedding that we went to in that summer and into the fall, this damn song was played. Every single wedding. And it was not just played at the wedding generically. It was maybe three or four weddings. It was their song. It was their first dance, the couple's first dance. Just it was horrible. It was just absolutely horrible. And the thing that was really funny about it was, like, right around that time we're going to all these weddings, and this really lame music was, like, in the early 90s, like 90, 91, there was a lot of lame pop, like really, really terrible. But right seething beneath it, like, Nevermind had just come out, you know, and 10 by Pearl Jam had just come out, that stuff. I mean, Bleach was already out, so, and I knew about, you're not going to hear anything from Bleach at a wedding, I understand that, but by the time we got to, I don't know, wedding number five or something, which would have been in, like, maybe October, November of 1991, and by that point, Smells Like Teen Spirit had busted through, everybody had their Nirvana record, people were buying Pearl Jam, and the grunge thing was happening, and, like, destroying the hair bands that were so big. And so when we go to a wedding and they play this song, people would actively be angry. Like at the beginning of the summer, it was like, oh, that's a sweet little Bryan Adams song from that Robin Hood movie. Oh, by November, after everybody bought the Nirvana record, they play Everything I Do For You. Man, get this crap off. So it was crazy how that just, I mean, how that movement just completely blew up that year. Like by late November, nobody knew who the hell Nirvana was in like April of 91. Nobody knew who Nirvana was. Nobody knew who Pearl Jam was. Nobody knew who any of the Seattle bands or that movement was. Nobody knew. By November or October, that's, you know, and that also was around the time that those were huge. And the Big Chili Peppers album, the Blood Sugar Sex Magic Money Sex Money Movement Village, whatever the hell it's called, came out. And that was through the roof. So that was that. The alternative stuff broke big time in 91. And I'm telling you, every time we went to a wedding after that, and that they played the damn Robin Hood song, we'd be just like, oh man. And the thing is, I loved Bryan Adams. I loved Bryan Adams. I thought he ruled. So did my friend Scott Oaken, who busted three chairs at a Bryan Adams concert because he was jamming so hard. He busted three chairs. And we all were like, what is this song? What is this? Not to mention the movie sucked. So that added to it. Except for Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman, I mean, Alan Rickman rules. All right, here we go. Here's Brian. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing good.
All right, buddy, what you got?
Okay, tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I was born in 1969.
Okay.
And that day was a Friday, and that was the day Woodstock started.
Oh.
All right, so the number one song that week was In the Year 2525. Which is an awful song.
Yes, it is.
Terrible song.
Yes, it is.
But the thing that was funny is the week prior was Brown Sugar by Rolling Stones. And I'm like, that awful song got Brown Sugar out of the number one spot.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
It is. Well, it wasn't the biggest song of the entire year, though, Brian. Because the biggest song of the entire year of 1969 was from Hair, and it was Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In.
That's right. That was my other bit of trivia that I was supposed to know from 6th grade.
Yep, that was the big hit. It was huge. It was from Hair. All the songs from Hair became really, really popular, and they were re-recorded by other artists like the Fifth Dimension and stuff like that. And that was when Hair as a musical and as a cultural phenomenon really, really, really took off. So yeah, for the year you were born, the biggest song was Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Brian.
Sure.
All right, see you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, let's go through the 80s here and the 90s here. Okay, 80s we went through all the way up through 83, which was Every Breath You Take. That was the year that Esmeralda was born. 1984 makes sense, When Doves Cry. But 84, Prince was, yeah, there's no question, Prince. But, man, you know, Born in the USA came out that year. And that was a massive hit. But I guess Purple Rain was bigger than Born in the USA. But that was the year, Dan, that was the year of Prince, number one, Bruce Springsteen, number two, Madonna, number three. Madonna's first full-length record came out in 84. Or it became really popular. It may have come out at the end of 83, but in 84 it took off. But Prince did that. Well, he had a movie, too. That was the thing. It was like the number one movie in the country. The soundtrack sold like millions and millions of copies. You know, Bruce was Bruce, but he didn't have a movie. Neither did Madonna. Because Desperately Seeking Susan didn't come out until the next year. So When Doves Cry, released as the lead single from Prince and the Revolution's 1984 album Purple Rain, When Doves Cry shot to the top of the charts and became the singer's first number one hit in America. Prince wrote the song for the film of the same name after seeing a scene that involved a love affair and hardships of parenting. The resulting track was so well received, it won Favored Black Single at the American Music Awards in 1985. All right. All right, let's get a few more of these years coming up before we break for the news. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 Tuesday! You can get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. 301 area code requesting some Gary Puckett. That is Lady Willpower. How's everybody doing? Okay. We are going to talk about what's everybody's favorite Disney movie? And someone actually found out what states were the favorite, like what favorite Disney movies for each U.S. state. That's a very specific study, don't you think, Dan? Hey, I'd like to find out state by state what the state's favorite Disney movie is.
Yes, very specific.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll get into to that in a little bit. We've been talking a little bit about what were the biggest songs of each year going back to 1940 and wondering what you guys would like to know in terms of that, like maybe a specific year that you wanted to know or the year you were born and all that cool stuff. We'll get back to that in a second. 312-981-7200. Here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, I guess we're about the same age. I was born in 65.
Okay.
And used to road trip to Wisconsin. The parents would take us on vacation, and back in the 70s, we just had bad AM radio.
Yeah.
and I'd be stuck in the car for 6 hours. And one of the songs I remembered was Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
Yeah, we just talked about that. That was 1973, and that song was awful, and it was on the radio every 5 seconds. Like, you could not, yeah. You couldn't get away from it.
Radio was so bad back then. It was that, then you had the Carpenters. I mean, when I hear some of these songs, it just brings me back to those horrific road trips.
Yeah, I can imagine. Station. Yeah, no, and so. By the way, so you said you were born in 65? Okay, we're the same age, and the song that was the biggest song the year we were born was Woolly Bully.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right.
All right, man, have a good one.
Good to know. You
all right,
too.
See you later. Yeah, some of the you know, the early 70s, there were a lot of great songs in the early 70s, and there were a few things that I really loved. There were a lot of things I loved about AM radio of that time period. It was because you could hear a lot of different genres of music on one station. It wasn't just country, it wasn't just classic rock, it wasn't just dance music. It was everything. Every kind of genre that you could possibly imagine got played back to back to back to back to back on AM stations in the 70s, and that was great. Like, the format was so cool and so loose and so, you know, inclusive of every kind of genre that it was fun to listen to the radio back in those days. Now, those soft rock hits of the 70s were awful, and especially the one-hit wonders one. I'm not counting the Carpenters because the Carpenters rule. But that Tie a Yellow Ribbon was awful, and there were a lot of crappy songs like that that came out in the, especially the early 70s. It's terrible. 859 area code says, what about 1967? That's To Sir With Love, which was originally recorded by Lulu as the theme for the film of the same name, and it became a quick radio hit shortly after its release in 67. The track reached number one on the Hot Billboard 100, and where it kept firm for 5 weeks. It's the only song by a British artist to reach number one in the U.S. charts without charting at all in the U.K. A 301 area code says, I always associate the theme from A Summer Place with the Charlton Heston film The Omega Man, where he's playing it on his 8-track tape. So that song is everywhere, man, and it was used in TV shows and commercials, and like I bet there were at least 7, 8, 9 more movies that it was used in, not just Omega Man and Animal House. 920 area code wants to know about 1953, and that would be the song from Moulin Rouge, which is also known as Where Is Your Heart, with vocals from singer Felicia Sanders. It was a cover of the original recording of the 1952 film Moulin Rouge. Percy Faith and his orchestra's version climbed the charts and turned a sad song about a woman who doubts her partner's love into the top song of the year 1953. All right, let's try and sneak in two more here. Here's Barb on WGN. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Hi.
Crank up the Wayback Machine and go to 1947.
1947. All right, let's
right.
See.
I'm a baby boomer.
1947 is Heartaches by Ted Weems and his orchestra. They initially recorded Heartaches in 33 as a cover with the original song by Al Hoffman. The only problem, neither version of the song caught on with listeners. Then, 9 years later, Ted dissolved his band and went to fight in World War II. And then in 1947, a radio disc jockey added Ted's version of his song to the rotation, with having new fans fall for it. And before long, the track, which features the whistling of Elmo Tanner, hit number one.
I thought it might be a Patty Page number.
Yeah, no, it's Heartaches. That's the.
I'll
it?
Be darned.
That's it. Yeah. Okay, Barb. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Take care. All right. Let's see here. One more, real quick, before we hit the news. Here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Good morning. Hey. Great topic as always.
Thank you.
Right around pre British invasion, right about starting 1962 is my year.
Oh, okay. That would be Stranger on the Shore, which was originally released in Britain. Stranger on the Shore was by Acker Bilk. It was a clarinet-heavy instrumental that hit the charts in October of 61, became an instant success. It was also used as the theme song for the BBC television series of the same name. And in 1962, U.S. audiences got their first listen and fell in love. It became number one and became the first British song to achieve such a feat.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the songs that were songs of the year, you know, what people remember are far different than what charted. Yeah. Necessarily wasn't representative of people's favorites.
Yeah.
Nick, you mentioned you know, the song that was in Animal House, and I always think of Sarah Holcomb.
Yeah.
You know, after Caddyshack and that true to life Irish accent that they gave her, what has she done lately or even after that?
No, I mean, the only two movies that I vividly remember her from was Animal House and Caddyshack. Those are the only two. Yeah. I have no idea whatever happened to her. Maybe we'll look it up. Steve, I got to get to news, but thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Dan, can you look her up? Sarah Holcomb, and that's Sarah with an H. Holcomb, H-O-L-C-O-M-B. Was in two classic comedies, two of the trilogy. And then I don't know where she went from there. All right, news is coming up. Really? Seriously? Somebody actually requested this song.
Hey, why'd you turn it off?
Because it's a piece of
turn
crap.
Turn it up.
Song's a jam.
Are you all insane? Have you all lost your minds? This song is a piece of crap.
Hey, man, we're going to get there fast and then take it slow.
I don't even.
With John Stamos.
I'm assuming that's where you want to go.
Those are the lyrics to
the
song.
Way down in Kokomo.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, also, really, from Tom Cruise's best film, Cocktail. That's fantastic.
Who knew Stamos played such a great steel drum?
Skip, for some reason, requested the Beach Boys' Kokomo. You know, Skip, the Beach Boys actually have a lot of great songs. That's not one of them.
He prefers their post-Brian Wilson days.
Oh, my God.
He was just in Kokomo, so.
All right.
It's reliving some memories.
Okay. We get to hear another one. Is the other one crappy Beach Boys, too?
No, it's a good Beach Boys.
It's a good Beach Boys. So it's
that was good Beach Kokomo Boys, too.
No, Kokomo is not good Beach Boys. That's not even Beach Boys. That's Mike Love being a jackass.
Is the next song the remix of Kokomo?
I'm assuming there probably was a remix of Kokomo.
I normally don't allow those, but I would allow that.
Okay. All right. Somehow... the people I work with have lost their minds. I don't understand what's happening.
Hey, man, maybe it's you.
No.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take it to Bermuda. That song is so good.
Uh-huh. You ever hear the album Pet Sounds? Have you guys ever heard that album?
What's that?
Are you familiar with Pet Sounds? Like one of the greatest albums ever recorded in the history of music?
Is it all animal sounds?
Did they do it in a barn?
God.
Only God knows why we haven't heard that song before.
I really, seriously, when this stupid-ass song came out...
Does it give you good vibrations?
Well, see, now that's good Beach Boys. That's a reference to a good Beach Boys song.
I'd like to go surfing in USA with John Stamos.
A surfing safari, if you will.
I really hope that that Brian Wilson's not listening right now.
He's rolling in his sandbox.
Him and John Cusack are sitting together, having a smoke.
And Paul Dano.
Getting rained on. Listening
to bathrobes.
Yay. No, but I do. I picture Brian Wilson being at home, you know, he's had a lot of mental issues over the years, and turning the TV on in 1988, and that piece of crap video comes on, and he goes, what?
He probably loved it.
No.
He loves Stamos.
No.
As the creator of some of the finest music of all time, how could he not love it?
Yeah. That's the lowest point in the career of what they called the Beach Boys, even though that really wasn't the Beach Boys. That was Mike Love, a bunch of jackasses, and John Stamos ruining the name of a really great band.
You mean their highest point, and then their even more higher point was when they were on Full House.
Oh, they were on Full House?
Of course they were.
I don't remember that because I never watched the show. But so when Stamos was playing drums, they brought Mike Love and those other idiots into Full House?
Because they were playing. Were they playing with him, Dan?
Yeah, or it was very reminiscent of Nick's Three Dog Night, and they needed a drummer, like an emergency drummer.
And then they ended up playing crap and not the good stuff. Well, no, they didn't play crap. Three Dog Night didn't play crap. They played like your basic, you know, they just didn't play any Three Dog Night songs. So, all right, thank you, Skip. I appreciate that. That was a fun segment. It really was. I have three lunatics working with me this morning who actually think that that's a good song. So I don't...
Maybe people named Skip are just awesome, because we're going to have another Skip later in the show.
That wasn't Skip. I hope that wasn't Skip Skipley who requested this. All right. Jeez. There's so many good songs to choose from that the Beach Boys did. There are so many good
songs. The best part of that was that, like, I knew Esmeralda would be down for it, and I was obviously down for it. But then seeing Vic Vaughn rock out to it, that was the coup de grace right there.
Yeah. At that point, it turned into a Twilight Zone episode for me.
Because Vic was probably in the military when that song came out, and so I can just imagine him stationed in, like, South Korea with a bug in his ear, listening to Beach Boys.
Listening to that? Lord. All right. Let's see. We got just a few more people who want to know what song was big the year they were born. 630 Area Code says, what was the big year in 1977? That was the year I graduated eighth grade from St. Robert. It was Tonight's the Night, Gonna Be All Right by Rod Stewart. 1977, the world was ready for something steamier on the airwaves. Rod Stewart's hit song, Tonight's the Night, Gonna Be All Right, gave them just that. The track, which was some blatantly suggestive lyrics, topped the charts at number one, and it landed high on the UK and Australian charts as well. 630 area code, what about 1944? Swinging on a Star, Bing Crosby had cemented himself as one of the most prolific singers and actors of his generation. It's no surprise that in 43 and 44, he was responsible for the top songs in the country, which was Swinging on a Star, which was a pop standard. And it was in the film Going My Way, starring Bing. In 1976, 847 area code says, I want to know, what was 1976? Was it Muskrat Love? Because they played it over and over and over again. See, that's one of those songs that I'm talking about. One of those 70s songs, Muskrat Love, by that Captain and Tennille. He was a captain, see, because he wore a captain's hat all the time. They also were given a variety show. Everybody was given a variety show in the 70s. No, in 1976, the biggest song was Silly Love Songs, written by former Beatle Paul McCartney. It was a direct response to critics slamming the musician for his affinity for love songs. Performed by his new band Wings, it remained number one for 5 weeks and was the ultimately Billboard's number one song of the year. Nice to see Wings get a little love. And 1946, what about that year? 630 area code wants to know, what a wonderful program. Lots of good memories are being brought back. 1946, the number one song of the year was The Gypsy. This popular song originated in 1945. It was composed then and was recorded by Billy Reed and his orchestra. It found bigger success as a cover for the Ink Spots. Their 1946 version of The Gypsy, a song about a man who visits a fortune teller to see if his partner is faithful, quickly climbed up to number one on the Billboard charts and the R&B charts. All right. So that's The Gypsy. That would have been an interesting song to play on Svengoolie just past Saturday, because he showed The Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr., and there's gypsy fortune tellers all over that movie. But that movie was made 4 years before this Gypsy song came out, so it would be impossible unless Lon Chaney Jr. had a DeLorean. All right, so there you go. Those are some of the songs that were huge in the years that we were born. So,
Texter 773 lets us know that the Beach Boys are playing Ravinia this weekend, so that might be the part of the reason for the request.
Ooh, right. Kokomo Live.
So it's obviously, clearly it's not, it has nothing to do with Wilson. Brian Wilson's not going to be there. I mean, I would guess. I would imagine that Brian Wilson's not going to be there, which means you shouldn't be there. That's essentially what that means. Ravinia should be empty that night.